I said before, this past Monday was our day of prayer and fasting for our country and the elections. And on Tuesday, our country voted, and it appears that in our state and in our country, God has been gracious and merciful to allow Amendment 1 to pass, which is a good thing, right? We're thankful that life has been protected at its natural end. Amendment 1 passed, which would end assisted, physician-assisted suicide. And generally speaking, to allow candidates who best represent God and His Word to be elected to occupy our county, our state, and our national offices, at least in majority. And for this, I would say that I am very grateful, and I think that most of you are as well. So generally speaking, we have a state government and a national government that at least in majority is sympathetic to Christianity. Y'all agree with me on that? Is at least sympathetic to Christianity. None of the folks in office, I guarantee you, are perfect, all right? But it's good that on the state level, most county levels, and on the national level, it seems like it's at least sympathetic to Christianity. So as we celebrate Veterans Day and our thoughts are on our veterans and on America, what will we do with this time, this reprieve that we have, when we call our government, at least for now, is sympathetic or favorable to Christianity? What are we going to do with this time? You know, a lot of people's minds have been fixated on the elections, and a lot of people have been worried, and it's really never appropriate to worry, but I definitely understand the concern, and we prayed a lot for things. So once that is settled, at least for right now, what do we do? What do we do as Christians? I would hope that each one of us would want to make the most of our time of freedom, make the most of it for the Lord. Now, as I've said many times, our freedoms have been under attack, and they are under attack. And as I've said quite often, I believe there could be a time that they'll try to tell us in our churches what we can preach, what we can't preach, what we can teach in Sunday school, and what we can't teach. So what do we do with this time that we have? You know, I've been praying for revival. I've been praying for revival. It's almost like in my brain, and God did change my message on me without a whole lot of advance notice, but He did change the message and wanted me to preach to you today about revival. You know, it's kind of like, okay, right now, and again, I'm not saying that our government is perfect. I don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everything is great. I'm not saying that any of our officers are perfect. But I'm saying that right now we have at least a little reprieve with most of the politicians that we're affiliated with being favorable to Christianity and religious freedom. So what do we do with that time? What do we do with that time? I believe that you and I need to get really serious about revival in our land. As I've said many times, most likely, God can do anything He wants, but most likely, revival is not going to come out of Charleston, West Virginia. And most likely, revival is not going to come out of Washington, D.C. You see, revival is a sovereign act of God. I firmly believe that. Revival is a sovereign act of God. But you and I can hold back revival if we're not right with the Lord. And if we are right with the Lord, we can at least encourage revival to come our way. Today we're going to be talking about five to revive. Five to revive. Five steps we can take to encourage revival. We're going to be looking at a familiar passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 11 to 22. But we're just going to focus on verse 14 in particular. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 22. The verses will appear up there on the screen. Or if you got your Bible, open it up or however. Verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. So the house of God, the temple, has just been dedicated, okay? And we're given this verse that Solomon has worked on the house of the Lord, the king's house, And he's done a good job, and God is prospering Solomon in his efforts. Okay? Everybody still with me? Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Now this is the Lord appearing to Solomon himself at night. And he said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Now that would be the temple. I've chosen the temple for my presence. Verse 13, listen, it says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So if things come upon this land, bad things come upon this land, and I think all of us would agree that in America there's a lot of bad stuff that come upon the land. Now God didn't cause it, but God has allowed it, and our country has gone rampant. We're basically like a runaway train ready to go off of the cliff, almost. Would you all agree with that? So he says, now if that happens, if bad things happen to you, now of course he's talking to Solomon, of course in general to the nation of Israel, but I really believe that principles from this next verse we can apply to our hearts and our lives and to our nation today. It says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them, and serve them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. You know, as I look at this passage, and as I look at it, y'all, some of you almost are looking like you're frowning a little bit. This is not, let's beat everybody up, but and let's all talk about all the evils of America and where we are. Really, this message ought to be an encouragement to our hearts, because it tells us some key elements of revival. You know, I remember when I was pastoring at Middleburn Baptist, I remember that when one missionary came, and I believe he was from Australia, or at least a missionary to Australia, and in his presentation and everything, he basically was pretty clear that he thought God was done with America. And this has been a number of years back. And I remember I got up and I said, well, I really don't think God is done with America. You know, that's God. God can do what he wants to do, because he's God and he's sovereign and he's providential. He can do whatever he wants, but I hold out that hope that God is not done with America. I hold out that hope that God will send us revival. But you know what? There's some things that we as Christians have to do. I really believe that really a lot of the blame, not all of it, but a lot of the blame of where America is today. You know, we think back to our grandparents, perhaps, maybe even our parents, and we're like, wow, this is not the America that they knew. And we think back even further, and we've gone straight farther and farther away from what God would have for our country. But I really think that a lot of the blame rests right here among God's people. I don't think that we've been the people, we've not been the salt, we've not been the light that we should be to this nation. And we as Christians have let down, and a lot of churches have even forsaken the gospel and forsaken the Bible. And it's exhibiting itself in our society as we've gotten farther and farther and farther away from God. But let me tell you, there's good news. There's good news from the Word of God. I believe God wants to send us revival. I mean, we're not talking about we're going to have a little three-day meeting here. We're going to have good and have a good preaching and all. We're going to go home and be the same. I'm talking about, I believe God wants to send us a radical revival in our land. I mean, the kind of revival in our land that bars start shutting down and strip clubs start shutting down and people quit playing the lottery and people quit messing around in society with all the things that are sinful in life. A type of revival where your churches are filled again, where people are hungry for the Word of God. A type of revival where, again, souls are being saved and where Christians are snuggling up to God and being all that God wants us to be. A type of revival where churches are, again, relevant to our society. Now, I know that our churches are relevant, but I'm telling you, our society has pretty much looked down their nose at churches and totally thinks that we're pretty much irrelevant today. I mean, there used to be a time when society looked to churches for direction, and now society completely ignores us. I mean, just look at all the things that goes on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, which have traditionally in our country been church nights and church days, church services. I mean, they're totally ignoring us anymore. I remember a pastor friend of mine up in at Moundsville Baptist, he said basically they would call me and ask me what I thought about the town doing something up on certain days. And he'd kind of give them an approval. They looked to the churches. One time they wanted, I believe it was trick or treat, they wanted to do it on Wednesday night. He said, absolutely not. You can't do that. And guess what? They didn't have trick or treat on Wednesday night. I'm just telling you. We need revival. We need revival. And I'd be okay if God wanted to spark revival right here and right there 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 and in our church, and it spreads to Clarksburg, all throughout Clarksburg, all throughout Harrison County, all through. Would y'all be all right if it sparked right here? Today we're talking about five to revive. Five things that we can do as Christians that can help bring revival to America. We're going to look at this verse in particular. All these words start with the letter A. Point number one, five to revive. Five steps we can take to encourage revival. Again, revival is a sovereign act of God, but we can stop revival from happening because of our own lifestyles, because of our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own sinfulness. Point number one, attention. Attention. We must let God get our attention. You know, there's a lot of Christians, they're not even sure it's Sunday. I mean, they've used it in so many other ways that they just buzz right by Sunday as if it's just another day. Folks, attention. We got to let God get our attention. It says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name. Now, again, we know that this is speaking to Israel, but by principle, who today is God's people? Who is it that's called by his name? We're even called Christians, right? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. So guess what? The key to revival is right here. The key to revival is we Christians. We got to realize. We got to let God get our attention and say, quit blaming everybody and quit blaming the world and look in the mirror and say, guess what? Revival needs to start right here. Attention. We've got to let God get our attention. You know, again, a big reason our country has slid to the point that it is because we as Christians are not what we should be. And churches are not what they should be. couple of you up. But what did I do? I got your attention. And sometimes I see people nodding off. If you ever hear me preach and say, why did he do that right in the middle of the sermon? It's because I saw somebody nod off. And what's that do? It kind of gets our attention, folks. Can I tell you that we as Christians and we at our, in even our Bible believing and preaching, we've fallen asleep in a lot of ways. I mean, it's like Christianity light. Did you hear what I said? Christianity light. It's like God doesn't demand anything of me. God doesn't demand my time. God doesn't demand my faithfulness. God doesn't demand my tithe. God doesn't demand anything of me. Yes, God does. And the sooner we realize that and let God get our attention, the sooner God can send us revival. You see, attention. We got to let God get our attention. Second point today is attitude. Attitude. Notice what it says, if my people which are called by my name, today that would be Christians, that would be us, shall humble themselves. Attitude. We must have an attitude of humility. You know, God is God. Isn't that profound? God is God. I am not God. We need His help and His power. I'm amazed, and I guess politicians are paid to come up with, you know, I got all the answers. There is nobody that's got all the answers. And we as Christians, sometimes we think we got all the answers. Guess what? We don't have any of the answers, really. The only answer I know is Jesus. And Jesus is always a good answer, don't you think? But if we're going to see revival, not only do we need to let God get our attention, we have to have an attitude of humility before God. You know, an attitude of humility before God, we recognize, you know, if this problem is going to be fixed, if we're going to see revival, guess where it's going to come from? It's ultimately going to come from God. I need to dot my I's and cross my T's spiritually, but ultimately it's going to come from God. You know, you look at our society, and you look at people in society, I tell you, a word that I would use to describe our society is not a humble society. We are a fat and a sassy society. We think we got all the answers. We think we are the smartest. We have athletes that brag about how great they are at this. And it's like, folks, do you not get it? It's all because of God. If you can catch a football, AJ, it's because God gave you the ability to catch a football. But I don't sense humility. And a lot of our churches, humility is missing. You know, if we're going to see revival as a church and these pews filled up, we need to lose the attitude, really. We need to, oh, I got all the answers. You know, that critical spirit sometimes that pops up here and there. You guess what? We got to lose that and say, you know what? It's all about God. It's all about His power. Remember the old guy I told you about? He'd been faithful to the Lord years and years and lived to be 105 years old, and he was getting near his death, and someone says, oh, I got to go talk to him. I got to go talk to him about what he's learned. He said, what have you learned in your many years of serving God? He said, I've learned two things. Number one, there is a God. And number two, I'm not Him. Let me tell you what, we as Christians need to take a lesson from that. If we're going to see revival, not only do we need to let God get our attention, we need to have an attitude of humility. Colossians chapter 3, you're familiar with that, right? We've been preaching on that for quite a while on Wednesday night. It basically says in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Notice what it says next, humbleness of mind. Meekness, long-suffering. Point number three, or step number three, if you want to look at it that way, is authority. Authority. Number one is attention. We got to let God get our attention. Number two, attitude. We must have an attitude of humility. Number three, authority. We must go to the authority in prayer. Notice what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? authority. We must go to the authority in prayer. Do you know who ultimately has the power to bring revival? It's God. And we have the audacity in our hearts and life sometimes, I just don't have time to pray. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that when something goes wrong and we need God, we suddenly find time to pray? Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble, but don't ask me to pray long. Now, prayer is a discipline. It takes time. It takes effort. You know, I found of the disciplines in the Christian life, serious prayer is one of the most difficult. If we want to see revival, we need to spend some dedicated time humbly before God, on our knees before God, and praying to God and calling out to Him and say, Lord, You are the authority. You are the power. We need revival. Please don't be sitting there today and say, oh, I don't think we need revival, preacher. We need revival. I'll tell you, I need revival in my heart. I am so sick of the normal. I am so sick of the same old, same old. I've been in church my whole life. I want to see God, boom, shakalaka, send us revival. And I sure don't want to be the one that holds back revival. I don't think you want to be the one to hold back revival. I want to say, God, You're sovereign, but God, would You please send revival and make sure that I'm all that God wants me to be. You see, it's important that we realize that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because of God. And you know, when we go to God in prayer and we recognize His authority, you know what? The Bible says, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to read part of it to you. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the latter part of that verse says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Wow. When we go to God and say, God, we need revival, the Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. In other words, when you go to pray before God humbly and spend time and not just one of those little canned prayers, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray, Lord, my soul to keep, or God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. You know, it's not like that. It's like serious before God. It says it will influence God. If we want to see revival, we got to get serious about prayer. Recognize His authority. You know, it's kind of like if you have a problem with a product or a service and you're on the phone and they finally say, there's nothing else we can do, ma'am or sir. And then you say, well, let me talk to your supervisor. You ever done that? And then they hem-haw around and pretend like the supervisor's three continents away, and it may be. But then that you finally get to talk to someone, and if they say, well, there's nothing more we can do, you really want to go straight to the top, don't you? You want to talk to the president to make sure. We don't have to worry about the president. We can go higher than the president. We can go straight to the God of the universe with our prayers and say, God, we need revival. Five to revive. Number one, attention. We got to let God get our attention. And it falls on Christians, folks. Not on the world. It falls on us. If revival is going to happen, it's not going to happen as a result of our politicians. It's going to happen because of us in the local church. I'm pretty convinced. Second attitude. We must have an attitude of humility before God. I'm not God, but I know who is. Third, we got to... The word is authority. We must go to the authority in prayer. Number four, and there's only five, ambition. Ambition. We must have ambition for God. You say, where does that say? It says not only talking to Christians, and not only are we to humble ourselves, not only are we to pray, but we're supposed to seek My face. We have to have an ambition for God. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We have to have an ambition, a drive to know God and to serve God. You know, there's a lot of words I'd use to describe the American church. But believe me, it's not one with ambition toward God. It's not one with drive to know God and to serve God. May that not be said of us as individuals. But I see a lot of Christians that they're not the least bit, it seems, thirsty for God or hungry for God or seeking after God. If we want to see revival, we need to take it up as a personal mission that I will seek after God. I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care how everyone else finds to amuse themselves on Sundays. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what everybody else does with their Bible and uses it as basically a what do you call that? Like a book? You put it on something? What's that called? No, you just hold something down?
Paperweight.
That just completely went out of my brain. You know, I'm not going to use my Bible as a paperweight or a topic of discussion. I'm going to read my Bible. You know, we need to be serious about seeking after God. Can I tell you, the instant we leave this world, the instant we breathe our last, we'll realize that this world was fast. And only what's done for Christ is what's really going to last. So why not do it now while we got breath and energy and strength? Have a drive for God. You know, I like being down at Bible college with the boys. Why? Because there's people there. I've always thought I'd love to teach in a Christian college or something. Why? Now, not every one of them there is not excited about God. I'll guarantee you, some are there because mom and dad made them come to Bible college. But for the most part, they're seeking after God. And guess what? I'm not going to have to answer whether you're seeking after God. And you're not going to have to answer for me whether I'm seeking after God. We're going to answer for ourselves. Let me encourage you. If we want revival, we got to have ambition. We got to have drive to seek after God. Today we've talked about five to revive. Five steps we can take to encourage revival. Attention, we got to let God get our attention. Number two, attitude. We must have an attitude of humility, authority. We must go to the authority in prayer. Number four was ambition. We must have ambition for God. Number five, last point, alignment. Alignment. We must have alignment with God. Alignment. Notice what it says. It says that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, here it is, and turn from their wicked ways. You say, preacher, really? Do you think Christians have wicked ways? You know, we want to quantify sins, don't we? We want to say, oh, that's a bad, that's a wicked sin. But sin I got, nah, it's not that. Best I can tell, according to Scripture, sin is sin before God. And it's all black and it's all evil. So the answer to the question, do we as Christians ever have wickedness in our ways and in our lives? Yes, absolutely we do. As long as it's a sin, it's wicked before God. And the idea here, I believe, is when it says and turn from their wicked ways, is the idea of repentance. Basically a change of mind toward that sin, that is wrong. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It should result in a change of path or action, and as it says there, and turn from their wicked ways. We have a whole lot of Christians that are going this way in their wicked ways and doing what they want to do. Folks, we got to turn around. We got to turn around and make sure that we're lined up with God. That's important. We don't have to align with anybody else. We don't have to line up with our neighbor or another Christian, but we do need to line up with God. You know, every once in a while I go to the mechanic and I have them align my car. Now, I don't exactly understand everything. I've never done that myself, but I realize that there's some bolts that they can adjust and put some shims in here or there because my car is going this way maybe, or my car is going this way on its own when I'm on interstate. I want to go straight down the line. And that's exactly what you and I need to do as Christians. We need to go before God just like we go before a mechanic with our car and say, God, is my life not lined up with you? Am I going a little bit to the left or to the right in that wickedness that may be in my heart? Help me to turn back to you. Man, isn't this a powerful verse of Scripture? Do you want to see revival? Look what he says he'll do. Then will I hear from heaven. I believe what that's saying is, I'll hear and answer your prayer, yes. You get right with me, I will hear and answer your prayer, yes. And will forgive their sin. Isn't that good? God will forgive the sins of our land, and there are many. And our sins, which are many. And will what? Heal their land. Back to where they used to be. Back to where we used to be. You see, I believe if you take those three statements in general, I like that word then. You got your part to do. Then I'll answer your prayer, yes. Then I will forgive you and your country. And then I will heal the land or bring back the land to where it used to be. I think in general that's speaking of revival. Revival. Five to revive. Five steps we can take to encourage revival. Number one, attention. We must let God get our attention. If my people, which are called by my name. You know, we're experts as Christians on blaming other people. And it goes back as far as the Garden of Eden, right? Because Adam wanted to blame Eve. Eve wanted to blame the serpent. We're experts. And we say, well, it's society's fault. It's the sinner's fault. It's this. We need to look in the mirror, Christian, and say, guess what? I can take a big chunk of this responsibility myself. Does God have your attention today? Secondly, attitude. We must have an attitude of humility. It says, shall humble themselves. Do you realize that you're not God? Do you realize that you have no authority in this world? Do you realize that really, if you've given your life to Christ, you have no authority over your life at all? Do you realize that you are not God? Third point was authority. We must go to the authority in prayer. It says in this verse, and pray. The question is, will you go to God in serious prayer for revival? Will you go to God in serious prayer for revival? Number four was ambition. We must have ambition or a drive for God. It says, and seek my face. The question, are you seriously seeking after God? There's a whole lot of people, and there's a whole lot of Christians that are seriously seeking after some very worldly things. But are you seriously seeking after God? And the last step that we looked at is alignment. We must have alignment with God and turn from their wicked ways. Again, don't let that wicked say, well, I don't have anything wicked. Anything we do that displeases God is sin. And every sin is wicked before God. Seriously. We need to do our best to turn around and do what God wants us to do. Do you need to align with God by turning from some sin or sins in your heart and in your life? Then maybe God in His mercy will send us revival. Then maybe God will hear and answer our prayers and say, yes. Maybe then God will forgive us and forgive our country. And then perhaps God will heal our land. You know, I would love to see prices go down, wouldn't you? I'd love to see the economy to flourish, but you know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see revival among God's people that spreads to the world and sees souls saved. You know, I was thinking about this. Wouldn't it be a shame someday if we stand before God? Now, I'm not a drama king, but think about this. As we stand before God, Jesus in particular, at the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account of our service to God, if the Lord would say something like this, you know what? I really wanted to send revival down there to Oakmount. I really wanted to send revival, but your heart and your relationship with me would not allow me to send revival. Whew. You say, preacher, you think that an individual can hold back revival? I believe it can. I just want to make sure that I'm not the one holding back revival. I hope that you want to look in the mirror and say, Lord, help it not to be me to hold back revival. Help me to do those things. I want to see revival in my heart. I want to see revival in my church. I want to see revival in our country, which results in a turnaround of our country for the Lord. If that's you today, we're going to sing in just a moment. If that's you and that's your heart, Lord, I don't want to be the one. Help me to be all that you want me to be. Send us revival. If that's you and that's your heart today, as we sing here in a moment, I'm going to encourage you to come up here to the altar today. I don't know of any better day than Veterans Day. We're recognizing veterans for God's child to come to God's altar and say, God, I want to do it your way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of your word. Lord, how we long for revival. Lord, not just the mediocre, not just the business as usual, but Lord, send revival to my heart. Lord, help me to be all that you want me to be. Forgive me of my sins and where I fall short. And Lord, help me to be more like Jesus every day. Lord, I pray that you'll just send us revival in this church. Lord, as you're speaking to hearts today, Lord, if that's the desire of the hearts of the people that are here today, Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step out and come to the altar, Lord, and do business with you. Lord, it may say, Lord, it may begin, well, Lord, forgive me for this, and Lord, I need to start doing this and help me. But Lord, should conclude with, Lord, please send revival. Lord, speak to hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name.